Let's go to the next page. Page 7, three kinds of thoughts. In our modern world, in our highly individualistic culture, the quality of our lives is very dependent upon the quality of our thinking. And so I want to set down the three kinds of thinking that form the basis of who we are in our human personality, as well as who we are in our higher self, because as we go through this year, we're going to be facing some thoughts in us that aren't the truth. They're going to be brought to the light. And so let's look at the kinds of thinking that form our thoughts. First is rumors, which are nurture thoughts. On line one, nurture thoughts. Nurture, the sum total of the environmental influences. Nurture thoughts reside in the collective consciousness of our human environment, which begins with our family. These kind of thoughts primarily come from our family. And all of you can probably point to some thoughts that you learned as a kid from your family that simply aren't true. I mean, the crazy one that comes to mind is the old story about the woman in the ham, in the pan, and she cut off the ends of the ham every year and put it in the pan. And one year her husband's saying, you know, why do you always cut off the ends of the ham? She says, well, it's because how my mother did it. And so he called up her mother and asked her mother why, you know, she always cut the ham, the ends of the ham off. And her mother said, well, because our pan was too small. But that's exactly how nurture thoughts enter our thinking. And they become so true for us that we act upon them unconsciously. We're living from nurture thoughts and we don't even really realize it, because beyond our family, then our circle of friends and our community, our culture, the country that we're born into, and ultimately all of humanity, but we're most influenced by our primary family, especially as a child. And nurture thoughts are characterized by agreement about what's right or wrong and frequent disagreement about what to do about what's right or wrong. And so anytime anybody's in an argument about what's right or wrong or what to do about it, this is where they're thinking from. Now, a lot of times the conflict becomes between these nurture thoughts and the next level of our thinking, which are opinions on line two, our nature thoughts. And our nature is like an individual's fundamental character. Now, our nature thoughts consist of all that we remember within our bodies based upon our past experience and inherited tendencies. This is what comes through the blood and body of our ancestors. This is what comes, as we'll get into tomorrow, the idea of reincarnation. It's what is living in the memory of the cells of our body from past lives. So it's stuff that has come through long periods of lifetimes that are separate from just what we got with the parents in this lifetime. So our nature thoughts are our inherited tendencies. We might say that some of this stuff is even in our DNA. And often they tend to be very selfish survival thoughts arising from the mind of ourselves. And they are generally focused on what we want to get and need in order to experience pleasure and avoid pain. And so these get down to basic instinctual survival mechanisms in us. What we do when conflict arises. Some people fight, some people flee, and some people faint. And so at that level, this is our nature. Because with our nature thoughts, we tend to, in any kind of conflict across the whole spectrum, we would pretty much behave in the same way. Some of us withdraw, some of us engage, and some of us go unconscious and faint. And so what happens with our nature thoughts is that they tend to be buried in our subconscious mind. This subconscious, the gray as it's represented in the drawings in the syllabus here. Consequently, they often express themselves directly into our behavior without a conscious awareness of their presence. It's any time you say, oh, the devil made me do it. Or why did I act like that? Where did that come from? You know, what comes out. And it is this deeper nature that comes up and it just pops out. And we do a lot of things unconsciously. And anything that we do unconsciously out of this is really bedded deep within our nature. And these tend to only come to the light when they are challenged by an opposing idea, when we're threatened in some way. Nature thoughts are characterized by a sense of certainty that we are right, and any challenge to them is quickly met with disagreement. Now, one of the movies that's out now where you get to see this at play is based upon the true story, this great movie called Glory Road. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it because it actually takes place in 1965 in the United States. It's a basketball story, but it really deals with the deep nature thoughts that were in the history of our country and how some people were able to ask the question, if this were true for me, would I be more free? And to be freed from their nature thoughts, while others were not yet ready or prepared to. And so I'll say enough, that's enough to be said about it, but I highly recommend that movie. Because you see how people are challenged by an affront to what they hold deeply and are really at the foundation of their nature. And then finally, in truth, we have new thoughts. As Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. And new thoughts arise from the divinity that is within us. And from them, we have the ability to freely manifest themselves as heavenly conditions beyond anything that we could have imagined. New thoughts without real spiritual practice tend to be corrupted by our natural way of thinking into fantasies consistent with the nature of our nurture world. And so when we go into fantasies, we're always escaping from what we have to face or what we have to heal in order for a new thought to really arise from the divinity within us. New thoughts flow through faith and are characterized by the intuition that our thoughts are not our own. And all of you, when you have sat in meditation and the intuitive movement within you has given you guidance about something, there's a sense that of the rightness of what has been given. Maybe you've been pondering a direction that you need to take in your life or what you need to do next, and then all of a sudden something arises and it comes with great clarity. It comes like softly in a way. It's the way I would describe it. But when it comes, it's new. It's something, that's it. You go, yes. And it seems to have come from a higher place. Well, it has. Because it's comes from a place in us that is not tied to the nurture nature of our being or the nature of our being. And so it's when that begins to happen, we know that we've connected with our higher wisdom self, the Christ in us, and we are developing that relationship. And as we strengthen and develop that relationship, we receive more direction and guidance than what we receive are these new thoughts. And new thoughts flow through faith and are characterized by the intuition that our thoughts are not our own. They seem to come from a higher source within us. And they will invariably embrace the highest good for all and will always produce feelings of gratitude. So let's make a distinction or an analogy using the computer. The first one, nurture thoughts come from the internet. And if any of you are getting as much spam as I am these days, there's just so much out there that's not true. There's so much out there that is based upon faults, based upon illusions in the collective consciousness. And so at the nature level, in the computer analogy, nature thoughts come from the hard drive. And they have to be wired in. They have to be hardwired in. And it's like in our flesh, what's in our DNA has been hardwired in humanity. And we have a thread. And that's why some diseases go from generation to generation or would even skip generations. And so then we come to truth. New thoughts come from us. And the highest thought that we can put into the computer is what we're writing or giving out as a center, a divine center, through which God can use us to serve us. And that's what we're attempting to do with this teaching and making it available on the internet. And what happens at the rumor level, number one, when we obey the rumors, we follow the pack. And that's why rumors are tribes. They take place in tribes. And a family's a tribe. It's just a small tribe. But you go into some big gangs and some tribal cultures, it goes beyond the family. It goes the whole extended blood family. And they all agree, and you have to do it that way, or you're banished. At the level of opinions, when we obey our opinions, we're usually battling somebody else. We're usually arguing with somebody else because we want to be right and we want to make others wrong, or we want to make them see it our way. And so there's always a battle involved when we're dealing at the level of opinions. And all you have to do is turn on the television, because all politics takes place at the level of opinion. And it's become very strident, because the opinions are getting more and more strident, and it's actually almost like paralyzing any good discourse that might have taken place or what had taken place in the past. So that's what some people are saying anyhow. So that's a rumor that I happen to believe in. But what happens in truth is that when we obey the truth that's revealed as self-realization in the divinity within us, we become leaders. And people want to be in our anointing. They want to be in our light. And that's why you gather around certain teachers. That's why you've gathered around the churches and the activities that you have here in Reno. Because a truth is being revealed that speaks to your soul, and that your soul is called to it. And so you want to be in the presence of the light. And so that's what we are working with in this class. And that lays the foundation for how we look at the mental level, our thinking and our thoughts, because a lot of what the work we will do and engage in this year is that we are going to have to lay down some false belief. We are going to have to lay down some rumors and opinions in order for the new thoughts of truth to find their way in a fuller and greater way through our experience of life. So let me just pause there and see if anyone has any questions to ask or anything to say. Yes, Dave.
Just a comment on stages of seeing truth, which I don't know how it is for everyone else, but really it seems like none of these stages work exclusively from the others. They all seem to work together and have linkages that go back and forth.
Right, right. And so what Dave has just pointed out is that in the stages of seeing the truth, that in one instant you may be seeing it literally as well as metaphysically as well as mystically. In an experience, you can have a literal experience, and then all of a sudden you can have a higher thought about it, and then all of a sudden you can gather some wisdom out of it. What we're speaking to here primarily, in the way that this was written, it actually came out of the Sacred Days of Bible mystery work, in ways of engaging reading scripture. And so what happens, though, with that foundation, you can turn on the TV and see literally what's happening. You can turn off the sound and begin to, at the mental level, assume what's happening based upon how you're seeing people behave. But you can also, with the sound off, sit there and say that political dialogue is not the truth. The truth is that we live in the one life of God, and that's where I stand, and that there is a greater mystery taking place behind every event that's taking place in the world, and that mystery is the unfoldment of the light in humanity. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's not only scripture, but what is most important in terms of your question is at any time for us to be aware of what level we're seeing from.
Well, it seems, at least for me, it seems to be dependent on my level of either consciousness or unconsciousness.
Right, exactly. And Dave is saying that it's depending upon, yes.
But I need to see a literal representation
right.
To begin a process.
Thank Thank you very much. What Dave is saying that's so important is that there are times when we're in darkness that we don't have the eyes to see what's going on. We're in trouble. We're in a dark night. We're up against the wall with something that's happening in our life. And there's no way we can climb up to mystical truth out of that. That we have to begin right where we are. We're in darkness. What do? We engage in a spiritual practice. We go read scripture to connect with the promise that gives us hope. We call a friend and pray together. Or we sit down and chant. Or we take a walk. We take a walk to connect in nature so that we're raised up out of the darkness and we can see the expansiveness of nature around us. We all have different ways of connecting because we all are unconnected. We all have experiences of being unconnected. And the whole spiritual path is about, in those times when we're unconnected, we strengthen in the soul so that we turn to be connected sooner than what we did before. That it's that whole thing that in the beginning of the spiritual work, I would be months and months and months in an issue over what somebody said to me off the cuff that I took personally. And I would churn in me and it would, you know, and I was just hanging on to it literally. And of course, then I would have a million different responses that would just zab them, you know, just get back at them, you know. But that's the highest level that I could function at the level of the human personality. And then I'd go to church and there was light in front of the room, an authentic light in the teachers I had. And there would be something I could lay down then. And I would get a deeper understanding at the mental level. I would begin to understand that my judgment and the pain that I was feeling is I was carrying this thing all these months. That other person wasn't hurt. They didn't remember. And then I could begin the process of coming back to doing the healing within myself. And when the soul gets the wisdom, then there's a sense of freedom. And then I could be in front of that person again and it would be nothing. I had an experience once that relates to this, and maybe some of you have had this, and because I had a public ministry for some time, is that many years after something happened, in fact, I don't even remember the event, but somebody would come up and say, I just want you to know that I have forgiven you. I had such a hard time with what you said and what you did, and I judged you for a long time, and it was difficult for me, but I stayed with it, and I just want to tell you how grateful I am. But see, what happened is that every single one of us always responds at the highest level of our consciousness at any given time. And this is why your highest thought at any given time is your salvation. And Reverend Kathy Hearn, in working with her around stuff, I saw her over and over again facing something, some difficulty in the church. And, you know, we would set aside when I was doing my internship there, we'd go into the office, and she said, okay, my lowest thought is, and my highest thought is. See, she would work her way up to what her highest thought was, and in that moment of difficulty, that was her salvation. And it was the stepping stone from the literal, this is what happened. You know, whatever the difficulty was. This is how it made me feel. This is my lowest thought. But then to abstract it up, this is my highest thought, which is at the mental level. So she was reaching up to the mental level. And then the next level would be to do the prayer work or whatever spiritual practice, you know, would come out of our conversation together. And this is what happens in all spiritual direction work. You may not do it exactly, but a session starts out and somebody says, this is what happened. So and so did this. This is the lowest thought, isn't it? And your spiritual director sits there and listens and allows you the space to confess the lowest thought. That's why Jesus said we must confess our sins one to another, confess our errors one to another, not so that we dwell on them, but so that we can let go of them. And by the confession, there's something in the confession in the two or more that begins to set us free. And we begin to move up into that metaphysical level and begin to see the error that's behind what thinking in me is upset. Who's upset? I'm upset. The thinking is in me. So let me look at my own thinking. That's a metaphysical level. I begin to examine my own thoughts, my own judgments. What in me is the impulse to behave like this? And out of that, and then taking it to an even higher level, when we surrender into a practice, we surrender into a prayer, we do praising prayers, whatever they are, that's what moves us up to being set free at the mystical level. And all of you in your work have been through those stages, right? Right? And so you can see that. But isn't it wonderful to see the process and to have a way when you're experiencing something to just be able to check in and see, okay, where am I seeing this from? Because as soon as you know where you're seeing it from, you have a choice about the next step. And sometimes we can't take that next step immediately. Sometimes we have to wallow, you know, in the physical. We have to wallow in the darkness. But there comes a point that there's a hope. There's a remembrance of, boy, you know, I didn't have this experience last week, but why am I in this now? So there's a remembrance out of our previous teachings or a previous class or whatever it was that gives us hope. And then we make the step forward, we come back, and we know how to do the work. And what it always comes down to is our individual consciousness and the intention of our healing. The intention to face the darkness, to enter into the practices of light, and have that light, be willing, have the courage to have that light shine into ourselves and work with healing our own false beliefs, our judgments, our accusations against the world. And in fact, that's why I gave you that essay that's at the back, and it's one of your assignments for next time, is Bringing Heaven to Earth, or Where is Heaven, that Lloyd wrote. And so I'll talk more about that tomorrow when I do the assignments. But it's a way of, it's a remembrance of how we remember to move to a higher level of seeing. Because our teachers, our teachers at any given time is the person before us who has a greater level of seeing than we do. And that's why we work with spiritual directors. That's why you have Christ circles or prayer circles, or you have a prayer partner. Because left to our own devices alone, and like I know you, Dave, you live alone, I live alone, I can get burrowed down in a dark cave. But there's enough of a recognition in a pattern is that I don't stay there as long as I used to. I mean, used to, I would be 6 months.
Is to know, yeah, if you're in the cave.
Right. That I'll tell you, for a situation that I have been, you know, deeply working with these last several months, that I just popped through the beginning of this week. I was sharing it with the Christchurch board last night on our conference call, that I have been in a deep dark place for 6 months inside. My outside has been superb. The glory of the church, the glory of our new sanctuary, the teachings, the preparation, all of that. It's like at the outer level, I was living in heaven. And at the inner level, I was being drawn down into to face a deeper part of myself. And the thing that carried me through in doing my practices was that I knew what I was doing. I was in the darkness. I had a name for it. Now, I didn't know, I wasn't ready to come out of it yet, but I was still doing my practice, but I knew something was being stirred up there, and I trusted that it would come through at the right time, that there would just be a time in which I was guided and given the direction of what this had all been about. And it happened Sunday. And so, and then when it happens, you're in a whole new room in consciousness. And there's this great freedom. You know, when you've stepped into those moments of freedom and you've come out of a dark hole that what has happened is you've gone through these stages. And so when it's going to happen to any one of us in any circumstance, we don't know. All we can rely upon is our own spiritual practice. Because it's our practice, when we can come back and engage in our practice, over time, a way is always given. And often, it is not given by our own demands. It is not given on our time schedule. Did I want this to last 6 months? No, it had been a long time since I'd been in one of those. But this was the preparation for all of my work this next year. And so I had to be taken to those places. And so seeing it outlined like this is very helpful to me. Because I see at the first level there's hope, at the second level there's trust, and at the mystical level there's love. And I came out of this with a greater sense of love than before. So thank you, Dave.